side. Rest to the restless, freedom from fear, when things seem impossible.
It's now time for worship with the Family Circle of Souls Harbor. We invite you, your family, and your friends in this next hour to worship with Pastor Rick Libby and the Souls Harbor Singers as they lead you in the songs of the church and in the sharing of God's Word.
For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Good morning, friends. What a beautiful day God has given to us to lift up the name of the Lord and to give Him worship and praise. I hope that you'll join us in doing that as we share this Souls Harbor worship service together. I'm Pastor Rick Libby, the senior pastor of the Souls Harbor Ministries. It's my pleasure today to welcome you into this service and to encourage you to think about the things that God is doing for us, and more specifically, the things that He's about to do for us. Oh, God's got some good things in store. One of those things that's just down the road a little bit, we don't know how far today, it's most likely much closer than we realize, but God has a place prepared for us that He's soon going to welcome us into. It's that place not built by human hand. It's that place called heaven. Heaven is home to the child of God. Not this earth that we're just passing through. There's a place that God has prepared for us, and that place is home to us. And think today, we are almost home. Listen to the words of this song that Golden Harmony is coming to sing. I enjoy this song. It reminds me of what's just ahead of us. So if nobody else enjoys this song today, I'm going to be a little selfish and have a song sung that I'm going to enjoy. But I know I'm not going to be the only one. Many of us today are excited about the prospect that today may be the day that we go home. We're almost there. Could it be today? We'll talk about it a little bit as this service goes on. But for now, let's enjoy Golden Harmony as they come and sing Almost Home.
I can't wait, my brother. We're almost home. Oh, I can't wait, my sister. We're almost home. This home that I'm awaiting, well, it's worth my anticipating, and I can't wait to see Him face to face. Thank you for His saving grace. I know we're almost home.
I'm going to a city where there is no more night. No sickness, no suffering, there is no more strife. Built by the mighty Carpenter from the city of Galilee. I have a feeling that my mansion will overlook the crystal sea. Well, as soon as I get there, I'm gonna find my family. And I'll talk a while with the one who laid his life down for you and me. Jasper walls, gates of pearl, all the things that are in store. I'll wake up in that promised land to live to die no more.
Well, I can't wait, my brother. We're almost home. Oh, I can't wait, my sister. We're almost home. This home that I'm awaiting, well, it's worth my anticipating, and I can't wait to see Him face to face. Thank you for His saving grace. I know we're almost home.
Won't you listen to that heavenly choir singing a song for the redeemed? The crowd's getting so excited, it will be more than a dream. Well, you might find me running up and down those streets of gold in my brand new body. Oh, the half has not been told.
I can't wait, my brother. We're almost home. Oh, I can't wait, my sister. We're almost home. This home that I'm awaiting, well, it's worth my anticipating, and I can't wait to see Him face to face.
thank Him for His saving grace. I know we're almost home. Oh, I can't wait, my brother, we're almost home. Oh, I can't wait, my sister, we're almost home. This home that I'm awaiting, well, it's worth my anticipating. And I can't wait to see Him face to face. Thank Him for His saving grace. I'll be in my new robe of white. I know everything will be just right. I'm gonna shout, I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna praise the King of Kings. I'm gonna shout, 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 sing, 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 praise the King of Kings. I know, we're almost home, almost home.
Well, now,
I can't wait, my brother, we're almost home. Oh, I can't wait, my sister, we're almost home. This home that I'm awaiting, well, it's worth my anticipating. And I can't wait to see Him face to face. Thank Him for His saving grace. I'll be in my new robe of white. I know everything will be just right. I'm gonna shout, I'm gonna sing, I'm gonna praise the King of Kings. I'm gonna shout, 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 sing, 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 praise the King of Kings. I know we're almost home, almost home.
I'm sure today that to some folk it must seem a little absurd to hear us talk about heaven as being home. We've never seen it. We've never been there. We've never experienced it. And yet, when we look to heaven, we think of it as home. We talk about the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper, the streets of gold, the mansions fair. We talk about there'll be no night there, no darkness will ever descend upon that place. We talk about no more dying, no more sickness, no more trouble, no more burdens. And I could go on and on today, but let me just stop there and say, doesn't that sound like a place that you'd like to call home? Well, it will be home for us because that's where we're going to spend eternity. Our time here on earth is so brief. Even if one were to live 100 years, it would still be just a second of time in the expanse of eternity when we enter heaven. Today, I'm looking forward to it. In fact, I agree with the song that evangelist Jonathan Garlock is coming to sing. Again, a concept that may be a little hard for some folk to understand. How can we be homesick for a place we've never been, let alone seen or experienced in any way? Well, I can understand that, but yet I am homesick for a place that is called heaven. How about you today? Listen to the message of this song as evangelist Jonathan Garlock comes and sings, I've never been this homesick before.
There's a light in the window, the table spread with splendor, someone standing by the open door. I can see a crystal river, so I must be near forever. I've never been this homesick before. See the bright light shine, it's just about home time. I can see my father standing by the door. This world's been a wilderness, I'm ready for deliverance. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before. And I can see the family all gathered, faces so familiar, but nobody's old or feeble anymore. Thank God, and this lonesome heart is crying. Think I'll spread my wings for flying. I've never been homesick before. Can't you see the bright light shine? It's just about home time. I can see King Jesus standing by the door. This world's been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, I've never been this homesick before. Can't you see the bright light shine? It's just about home time. I like to look through eyes of faith, see Jesus by the door. This world's been a wilderness. How many are ready for his deliverance? Oh, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Today, as we take a moment to pause in this service, to take the needs of this audience today to God in prayer, I want to get very specific in my prayer. I was thinking about the song that Jonathan was just singing and how that there are a lot of people today that are homesick for heaven because they have loved ones that have already gone there. I know that in our heart of hearts, we want to see Jesus. After all, he's the one that makes it able for us to go to heaven. He's the one that gave his life as a sacrifice so that our sins could be washed away, forgiven. But let's also recognize that we've got a lot of reasons for wanting to go there beyond that. And today, I'm motivated by this. Every day I receive mail asking for me to pray for people that I've never met and most likely in this life will never meet, yet somebody is burdened for their soul. I've had mothers ask for me to pray that their sons, their daughters, their children would come to know God. I've had fathers who have asked, Pastor Rick, please remember my children. Please remember my brother, my sister, a sibling. I've had many children who have asked me to pray for their parents who don't know God and yet are close to meeting him. Today, I know in this great audience, there is an untold number of people that you know that bear no sign that they're ready for heaven. I want to pray for that crowd specifically today. I know God will hear my prayer, but God will also hear your prayer. These folk are heavy on your heart, so as I'm praying, you pray and bring them before God. It won't even hurt to mention their names and exercise some faith that today God will somehow enter their road of life so that they can have an encounter with God. Maybe it'll even happen like Saul, who we better know as Paul. He had an encounter on the road to Damascus one day. It changed his life. God can still do that for folk today. So let's hold them up in prayer and ask God to save their souls before it's too late. Heavenly Father, nobody knows better than you where each individual of this world, this life today, stands with you. You know those who are ready, those who have established relationships, and you know those today who've not done that. They're not ready. Lord, I pray for every father, mother, son, daughter, niece, nephew, brother, sister, co-worker, neighbor. Lord, I pray for all of those that are represented by this audience today who are not ready to meet you. Lord, that is a great number of people. But Lord, I pray that throughout this day, that there will be encounter after encounter with you. That, Lord, they will understand that you're reaching out to them, giving them an opportunity. Let somebody come by their pathway that can introduce you to them before it's too late for their lives. Lord, I pray for a great revival of saving grace and mercy to be exhibited in the lives of those who are not ready to meet you. May eternity reveal the power and the results of our praying today, that this was the day that made the difference in their lives. Lord, I put each of these lives in your hands today, asking you to draw them unto yourself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Oh, what a celebration for getting where we've been. Standing on top of Zion, triumphant over sin. First the angels will start singing, then the joy bells will start ringing, and we'll walk all over heaven when the saints go marching in. Oh, won't that be how we meet when we step on the other side? When the saints of old stand with a greeting to welcome us across the tide. We're going to lift glad hands together, go shouting all through the land. And when you think it's just about ending, it'll happen all over again. I've been laughed at here for shouting since many long years ago. I've got more than just religion since Jesus saved my soul. I've got a way down deep salvation no mortal tongue can tell, and a standing invitation to a hallelujah spell.
Oh, won't that be a hallelujah meme when we step on the other side? When the saints of old stand with a greeting to welcome us across the tide. We're going to lift glad hands together, go shouting all through the land. And when you think it's just about ending, it'll happen all over again. Oh, won't that be a hallelujah meme when we step on the other side? When the saints of old stand with a greeting to welcome us across the tide. We're going to lift glad hands together, go shouting all through the land. And when you think it's just about ending, it'll happen all over again. And when you think it's just about ending, it'll happen all over again.
Wow, I was getting ready to sing that along with them if they'd have sung it another time or two. That's one of those songs that gets exciting. The more you sing it, the more you listen to it, the more you get to thinking about what it says. Isn't it going to be a hallelujah meeting when we gather over on the other side? When we join with the saints of old to have a worship service like nothing we've ever experienced here on earth. Oh, I know that there are some folk today that it's not the time of worship that excites them about heaven. It's the promise of being able to see some folk that have already gone on before us. Well, today, my heart of hearts is that I want to see Jesus. He's the one that died for me. He's the one that gave everything so that I could have eternal life. And I know that there are so many of us today that that is going to be the focus of heaven when we first arrive. We want to find Jesus. Well, if when you get to heaven you want to look me up, just find Jesus and that's where you'll find me. Somewhere near Him, where I am able to worship at His feet. You'll hear a little bit about it in this song that Walter Young is coming to sing. I think he agrees with me. Just find Jesus.
When you get to heaven, after the trumpet sounds, if you decide to look me up, don't waste your time looking round. I won't be at my mansion. You won't find me by the sea. Oh, just find Jesus, and there I'll be. I want to see the unseen arms that held me through the storms. I want to touch the hand that touched and completely changed my heart. I want to hear him speak the words that brought such peace to me. Oh, just find Jesus, and there I'll be. When I step through those pearly gates, there'll be so much to see. I'll behold those mansions tall and stroll down golden streets. Though the splendor will be amazing, there's only one attraction for me. So just find Jesus, and there I'll be. I want to see the unseen arms that held me through the storms. I want to touch the hand that touched and completely changed my heart. I want to hear him speak the words that brought such peace to me. Oh, just find Jesus, and there I'll be. I want to hear him speak the words that brought such peace to me. So just find Jesus, and there I'll be.
As we pause in this service today to talk to you about the financial needs of the Ministry of Souls Harbor, I promise you I'll do this as quickly as I can, but I don't want to do it so quickly that people are not aware of just how much we need your help. If you've been a part of this ministry for very long, you've heard us say many times that we are totally dependent upon the free will contributions of you, the viewer. And that is absolutely true today. You see, we don't have any other means of support other than that you send to this ministry. I recently had somebody suggest that we sell commercials, that by selling commercial time in the midst of the service would help to generate some funds so that we could take care of our expenses. Well, think about this for just a moment. I don't think anybody wants to have the flow of this worship service interrupted every 10 minutes for a commercial. We don't enjoy that in secular programming. I'm pretty sure we're not going to enjoy it in church programming either. So today we don't sell commercial time. We don't have any ads. We just simply rely upon God to move upon the hearts of men and women to support this ministry with a financial gift. That's why we're pausing in this service today to ask you to please prayerfully consider what the Lord would have you to do to help us. Your giving today helps us to purchase the airtime so that this ministry can be broadcast. So today, your help will be greatly appreciated. Every day I receive messages begging me, pleading with me, "Pastor Rick, please don't let Souls Harbor go off the air." Well, I'm doing everything I can. The members of this team are doing everything they can. Now we're asking you, will you please do everything you can? We're not asking you to do anything you can't do. I know that some folk are on such fixed incomes that they can't afford to give. We understand that, and we want you to continue to be blessed by this ministry. But at the same time, we know that there are many who can do something, and you are the folks that we're asking. Please prayerfully consider what the Lord would have you to do. and then make a free will contribution to this ministry. I'll give you our contact information. Then in these next few days, you'll be able to contact us with the help that will make the difference in our future. In the U.S., you would write to Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 275, Corinth, Maine, 04427. To make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our U.S. office at 207-285-3131. You can also make a contribution online in the U.S. by going to our website, www.soulsharbor.tv. Just click on the donate button there at the bottom of the homepage, and you'll be able to get a contribution directly to us. In Canada, please write to our Canadian office at Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 611, Centerville, New Brunswick, E7K3H5. To make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card in Canada, please call our Canadian office at 506-276-3551. I would just quickly remind you that if you missed any of that, if I went too quickly, then the address will be on your screen again at the close of today's service, and you can get the rest of it then. I would say thank you. Now, for our part, the words thank you are just not enough, but they're all that we have today. We thank you for helping the ministry of Souls Harbor. We very sincerely, very greatly appreciate everything that's done on this ministry's behalf. We promise you that we will pray that God will pour out His manifold blessings upon your life for you being a part of blessing the ministry of Souls Harbor. Thank you so very, very much. As I prepare to go over and share something from the Word of God today, I'm going to first of all stop long enough to sing a song for you that you may not necessarily agree with. It's the feeling of my heart today that this is a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. You see what I meant by not everybody's going to feel that way? I'm anxious for the coming of the Lord. I'm looking for Him to come soon. There's not much in this world today that we can get happy about. So many things are taking place, and it seems like every day we are finding that mankind can sink to a new low. Well, in the midst of all of that, is it any wonder that we're looking towards the heavens, waiting for that moment when God will call His church away? John the Revelator saw all of these things happening in his revelation that he wrote about in the book of Revelation. After he wrote all that he saw, he ended the book of Revelation with this little prayer, and it's the prayer that I find myself praying every day. Even so, Lord, come quickly. That may discourage some folk. They don't want God to come quickly. They want Him to take His good old time. But I'm praying God will come soon, so very, very soon. I think you'll agree with me as you think about it and you listen to the words of this song. If you know it, sing it along with me. And let's look towards the heavens as this being a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. As I wake up with the morning of each day that passes by, and I listen to the sounds upon my ear, I can't help but keep a watch towards the eastern sky as I listen for the trumpet to be the next sound that I hear. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. Oh, I long to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hands. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. All my earthly disappointments and my trials here below, they fade away when I remember His last words. He said He'd return and receive His children unto Him. Oh, and I'm longing to look upon the face of my Lord. Oh, what a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. Oh, I long to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hands. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. Oh, I long to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hands. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again.
I'm sure today in this audience that there are a number of people that may question what I am saying in this service. You're not questioning the reality of death. We all know that's a certainty. But what you may be questioning today are the references that I've made about this thing called the rapture of the church. Now, I know that in the natural, we'd rather not believe in the rapture of the church because that adds a whole other dimension of being ready for heaven. When we talk about being ready for heaven and going by way of the grave, in our human minds, we think that we'll have time to prepare. There'll be a warning that it's coming and we can get ready, even if it is at the last moment. But when you start talking about the rapture of the church, you're talking about staying in a state of readiness. That is, every day looking towards the heavens as the possibility of this being the day. Now, I've got to admit that in these days that we're living, that with a diminished influence of the church, there are fewer and fewer people that are believing in some of these foundational doctrines of the Bible. I know the word rapture doesn't appear in Scripture, but what the word rapture talks about is in the Scripture, a sudden catching away, a time when God sounds the trumpet of heaven and the church is called from this earth into the very presence of God, where God will meet us in the air. Now, I know that that sounds a little ridiculous to some. Oh, how could it ever be that we would be caught up in the air to meet Jesus? Well, I don't have to understand it to enjoy it. I can't tell you how it's going to happen. I can't give you a scientific or physical explanation as to how it's going to occur. But then that's the way it is with most of the things that God does. The things that God does defies description and explanation. I don't know how He does the miracles, But I sure do appreciate the fact that he is able to perform those miracles. We talked to you last week and again this week about the subject of heaven. And I want to elaborate on it a little bit more because I really do believe and I really do have an interest in helping people to prepare for the moment when it comes, whether it's by way of the grave or by way of the rapture of the church. Can I just interject this real quick? If you don't believe in the rapture of the church, I want to say that's okay because you're not going to stop it. But it's not okay because if I'm right and those who don't believe in the rapture are wrong, then it could be that you will be caught short, not ready for the rapture. So today, I'm not asking you to believe it just because I believe it, but I'm asking you to get into this Bible and read so that you can understand what God is saying through His Word. That way you can be ready for whatever comes next. Let's go back to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. I want to pick up where we left off. But before I do that, I want to again read those first 8 verses of Scripture because there's something very powerful being spoken here. And if we could read these words with the understanding that this is a futuristic reality. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. We get a little glimpse into the future through what John saw that day on the island of Patmos. In Revelation chapter 21, beginning with verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That term second death speaks of what will happen to the unprepared. That second death involves a place called hell. Now, I don't want to go back over all that we've already discussed, but I did want to read that passage of Scripture for you to realize that heaven is the place we want to go to. Heaven is the place that I pray we are all headed towards today. But if I am to believe the studies and surveys and statistical data that's been collected, I am made aware of the fact that there are fewer and fewer people ready for heaven today than perhaps there has ever been in the history of mankind. Last week, I shared with you at the very close of the service some statistics that are alarming to somebody like me who's been in the ministry for more than 40 years. In that closing segment of last week's service, I referred to a statistic that said 41% of people find themselves in church on Sunday, but only about half of that crowd considers itself to be born again. Now, the reason that that data is so critical is because it takes people being born again to go to heaven. Now, I've written down a lot of things, so I'm going to refer to my notes a lot today. I hope that that won't discourage you, but it's about the only way I'm going to be able to keep on track to get as much of this in this service as I possibly can. You see, it's the Hartford Institute of Religion Research that determined that about 40%, 40 to 41% of America says it's in church on Sunday. In actuality, only 20%. In fact, most studies have shown that it's only about 17.5% of America is actually in church on Sunday. Here in the state of Maine, that data is 14%. That's a pretty small crowd in comparison to all the inhabitants of our state or all the inhabitants of our nation. That means that roughly 80 to 85, 86, 87% of America is not in church on Sunday. Now, I know that going to church doesn't save you, and please don't leave this service today thinking that that's what I said. If you never enter the door of a church, you can still be ready for heaven. What church does for us is it gives us empowerment. It enables us. It helps us so that we realize we're not walking this journey alone. Going to church, being in fellowship with other Christians, people of like-minded faith, will help to strengthen you. And when you're going through things, it will help to comfort you. It will surround you with people who can hold you up and bear you up in prayer. I'm an advocate for church attendance. If you can possibly get there, if you're physically able, then by all means, find a local church to go to and give yourself to it so that it can be a help to you. Now, you'll notice I said physically able. There are some people today who have allowed emotional things to come into the picture. And through those emotional things, maybe the church did fail you. Maybe somebody in the church did you wrong. I understand those things can happen. We are man, and because we are man, we are prone to failure, and things get in our way, and I don't have time to get in all of that. But don't let the deeds done by man stop you from receiving the things that God wants to give to you. Now, in our day, we let too many things get in our way of the things of God. And we legitimize them by feeling like we're justified in feeling animosity or anger or frustration or any other of those emotions that follow along those lines. We think that we're justified and that when our lives are judged, God will see that our response was justified and won't hold us accountable. No, my friend, one of the benefits of church, one of the benefits of belonging to God, is that God gives us that moving of His Spirit within our lives. Through His presence, we rise up above the things of this world so that we can receive the things of God. It ought to be that God is pouring strength into us so that we won't let the little things of life drag us down. Now I know I seem to be a little off track here today. I'm not talking so much about heaven. Well, I just feel a moving in my spirit today that there are some folk, before you can ever get to heaven, you need to resolve some issues that have come to your life that are preventing you from receiving the things that God wants to do in you, through you, and for you. I wouldn't let man steal my relationship with God. Not when God is offering to help us to rise above the things that man does, the things that man says, the things that man didn't do but should have, that man didn't say but perhaps should have said. You can go on and on with a list of things that represent man's failure, but the bottom line is that we need God to help us to rise above those things so that we can have a strong, sure relationship with God. You see, our relationship with God is reflected in our attitudes, in the things that we like, the things that we don't like, the things that we love, the things that we don't love. Our relationship with God will give us a tolerance of things that we cannot change and a divine ability to change the things that we can change. And those changes take place first in us. You see, I've been around church people all my life. I know how they think. I know how they act. I know how they are. Thank God there are some precious people of God. They are truly saints because they seem to be getting it more right than they are wrong. They are a bigger help. They're that crowd that reaches down and picks others up to encourage them, strengthen them, help them to meet their need. But there is that crowd within God's house that aren't that way. They're more apt to push people down, or even worse, push people out. In fact, one of the things that I came across for a statistic is something that Francis Schaeffer, Institute of Church Leadership and Development, discovered recently in a study that they did. They said every year 2.7 million church members fall into inactivity. Research shows that they are leaving as hurting, wounded victims of some kind of abuse, neglect, or disillusionment. Now, here's a little note to my colleagues in the ministry. If you're pastoring a church and somebody suddenly disappears from off of that pew, you've got a window of about 4 to 8 weeks to win them back, or they will be lost, presumably forever, as far as a congregant in your church. You see, we can't afford to neglect. We certainly can't afford abuse. And I realize that every day news stories carry stories about abuse by church people. And that's sad. I wished it wasn't that way. But I realize in our world today, it is happening and it's going to continue to happen unless the church rises up to put a stop to those kinds of things. 4 to 8 weeks, somebody who's hurting, who's been wounded, who's been neglected, or through some other means that has come against them, they fall into inactivity. And what I've learned in my study of church folk is that if you take a healthy individual who no longer is attending church on a regular basis, their strength will diminish. Their devotion will diminish. They'll begin to stray away and leave God behind. Not just the church. That's a small part of the issue. When you leave God behind, what else do you have? You have nothing. And friend, today I'm concerned with where we're headed. Now, I'm going to say something that's very strong, and I think some will agree, and some will think I've said an awful thing. But our world today is in a mess. Oh, I could stake weeks here just talking about the things that have happened lately in our world, where we've got one side of humanity that says it's good, it's positive, we're headed in the right direction, and another part of humanity who sees the dangers, the pitfalls, and realizes we're not headed up, we're headed down. And when Jesus comes, when he calls his church away, that's the condition he's going to find this world in. I'm clearly out of time today, so we'll talk about it perhaps a little bit more next week. But I hope that you can see what I'm talking about today. The trend of our world. And I use the word trend because trend represents what people are doing. I hope today you're not one of those who's letting a negative experience in the church keep you from God and the things of God. Don't let bitterness become your story. Don't let it fill your life and harden your heart. No, my friend, but go to God. Talk to God about it. Let Him help you with things that have happened so that you won't let the experiences with mankind rob you of your eternity in heaven. Oh, there's so many things that can affect us today, and if we're not careful, it will be a small thing. The Scripture says it's a little fox that spoils the vine. We're guarding against big major catastrophes, and all the time we're doing that, little things are nibbling away, destroying us even from within. Today, there is eternity ahead of us. We must prepare for it now. And the best way I know to do that is to make the church strong so that those that participate in the activities of God's house come closer to God, grow stronger in God, and are more of a help to their fellow man. That can only happen through our relationship with the Lord. I want to close in a word of prayer today. Heavenly Father, I needed about another half hour to talk about this. But Lord, since I'm out of time, I stop to ask You to please continue to speak to this audience after this service has come to a conclusion. Lord, I pray that there has been some thought provoked within them, that they will reach out to You and ask You for Your help. Surround each member of this audience today with Your presence so that as they reach out to You, as they begin to talk to You about some of these things that they've experienced in this service, that, Lord, they will sense Your nearness, the warmth of Your presence, the strength of Your touch upon their lives. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. At the midnight cry, we'll be going home. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call His children, then the dead in Christ shall rise. Look around me, and I see prophecies fulfilling, and signs of the times are appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. Get your children. I cry, the bride of Christ will rise when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry. Comes again, and then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry when Jesus comes again. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus comes again.
I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I will sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.